What's happening, Rock family? Good to see everybody. Happy Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday. Yeah, happy Palm Sunday. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, the beginning of Holy Week, the beginning of Passion Week. We still have people coming in the room, and so awesome. Thank you for being at church today. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors that serves on our leadership team, and I think I got a good word today. There's a lot here. I don't know if you're a note taker, but this would be one of those days that you want to take some notes, get that pen and paper ready, get your Bible ready. It's going to be a good one. I want to say hello to all of our locations. So shout out to Oahu and Chula Vista, San Marcos, El Cajon, City Heights, everybody joining us online or watching at a later time, and everybody in the room, and anybody that came as a guest today. We are so blessed that you came to church as a friend, as a guest. Can we just greet our friends? Come on, clap your hands. Say hello. It's going to be a good day. I promise. The Lord wants to speak to you about a few things through His Word. His Spirit is here. He wants to move. I don't know what you came with, but God knows exactly what's on your heart, and He's coming to meet you today. How many believe that today, that God has something for you? Awesome, awesome, awesome. We should come every week with that expectation. God wants to speak to me today, because He does. Couple things for us. One, tomorrow is our senior pastor's birthday. My senior pastor's birthday, Pastor Miles McPherson, tomorrow. He celebrates, listen, 45, pastor, never looked so good. 45 never looked so good. I saw a video of me this past week, and at the end of the video, it was him. And I said, I look like I'm 12 years older than that video, but he looked the same. He's got that spiritual Benjamin Button, that reverse Benjamin Button. Just, it's like, man, getting younger as he's getting older. So Pastor Miles, on behalf of our church family, our leadership team, our city, from my heart to yours, my family, we love you. Thank you for being our pastor. Thank you for being our leader. You have been one of the biggest blessings of my life. So we just celebrate you and honor you. May tomorrow on your special day be a great day, and this year be the best year for the glory of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's thank the Lord for Pastor Miles. Happy birthday, Pastor. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. This next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday. We know it's Easter weekend, but next Sunday, our Chula Vista campus will be having a grand opening in their new facility. They're spending their last Sunday in their current place. They've been wandering in the wilderness in the dry wastelands for 12 years, and they have arrived to the promised land of a permanent building for the glory of the Lord and the salvation of Chula Vista. Easy, Travis, easy, easy. Easy. Now, we're excited for you guys. I can't wait. Pastor Nemo and Jessica, God bless you, and the whole crew down there, we're celebrating with you. If you know anybody that's in the south part of San Diego, send them that way. It's going to be awesome. Holy Week's coming up starting today. We have these invite cards at all of your locations. If you haven't received one of these, would you grab them on the way out? On the back is a QR code with directions and times for all of our services. We have Good Friday service this Friday that's coming up at 7 o'clock. Someone say 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, very good, in this location and in San Marcos. That's it. Then on Sunday, we have services at your regular times, at your location, at all six campuses. It's going to be a great weekend, but don't wait for Wednesday to invite somebody. Get these invite cards and start inviting people now, because they're already open to it. Did you know that? Like, this is the time where people are really open to hearing about God. They've already been thinking about it. And we have like a little code name for them. We call them CEOs, Christmas and Easter onlys. Okay, so they're ready to come to the office for Christmas and for Easter only. Come on, somebody. Okay, today I want to talk to you about Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the Sunday before Easter. It's 1 week. It's 8 days, really, if you're looking at the Christian calendar. It's the first day of Holy Week, or how many have heard it called Passion Week? Maybe you've seen Passion of the Christ. Anybody seen that movie before? Yeah, awesome, right? Holy Week, Passion Week, and I'll do it quickly. I didn't do this last service, but here's how it goes. Today is Palm Sunday. Jesus rides into the city. We're going to unpack that story. Tomorrow is Holy Monday, and Jesus comes into the temples and flips the temples. On Tuesday, it's called Holy Tuesday. He is debating back and forth with religious leaders. Wednesday is called Spy Wednesday. Judas has an agreement for how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. 10 God points for the person that said 30 pieces of silver. Amen. Thursday is called Maundy Thursday. What's with the Maundy? Not Monday, but Maundy. It's because he says, a new commandment I give you. Love your neighbor as I have loved you. It's a brand new commandment. And so Maundy means commandment. That's Thursday. Friday is what? Good Friday, Jesus is crucified. Saturday is called Silent Saturday because it was quiet. And the tomb was filled and no one knew what was going to happen. But Sunday was coming. And Resurrection Sunday was the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's Holy Week in about a minute and a half. Today, Palm Sunday, is a story that I want to bring to you. It's one of the most dramatic, don't look at the person next to you if they're dramatic. One of the most dramatic, I've seen dramatic moments in the ministry of Jesus because he has just raised Lazarus from the dead. If you were here last week, we unpacked that story. And so the whole town is up in a roar and they are shouting and they're waving and they're yelling and they're excited. And he's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he's celebrated with the hero's welcome. So crowds are shouting, Hosanna. Cloaks are waving and being placed on the ground. Palm branches are in the air. But Palm Sunday is also one of the most misunderstood moments in the gospel because the same crowd, don't miss this, that shouted Hosanna on Sunday, just a few days later would cry out, crucify him. Hosanna on Sunday. Then we get to Good Friday. Why is it good? And they yell out, crucify him. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 21 if you have your Bibles with you. And let's get good. I said this last week. You're going to be hearing it from now on. Let's get good at bringing our Bibles. If you got the Bible on your phone, that's awesome too. But get your Bibles with you. Bring your Bibles. See, my Bible's like falling apart. That's how you know that the preacher's been in his word. All right, you see a brand new Bible, you just can raise the eyebrow and be like, I don't know. Oh, it looks a little too shiny. Bring your Bibles with you to church. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 21. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, Passion Week, where you put out your whole life for us, God. May you speak through me. Help me to get this word into the hearts of your people and make us all more and more like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. When I was in my early 20s, a few friends of mine, we decided just on a day's notice, hey, tomorrow, let's do something. And that's what you do when you're 20 and you don't have a whole lot of responsibilities. You have no money, no job. You just go, what do you want to do today? Whatever we want. Okay? I don't have any kids. I have no responsibilities. Let's go to Yosemite. That's what we decided. We go to Yosemite National Forest. Anybody been there before? Go see Yosemite? Yeah? When you go there, there's a famous a rock there. What's it called? Half Dome. Half Dome. And it's beautiful. It looks like a half dome. That's where it gets its name. And I had remembered it from being there when I was a kid. And so we drove 8 hours and we got there. And coming into Yosemite National Forest Valley, I had a picture in my head of what it was going to look like. You ever do that? You go on a trip and you've looked at pictures and images. And so you have the story in your mind of what it's going to be like. And I did that for Yosemite, and Half Dome specifically was what I wanted to see, and we were gonna go and hike up the backside and go up there, and we were real cute in our early 20s, and we got some little sticks and made crosses and put them in our backpacks, and we're carrying our cross, God. We're carrying our cross up the mountain. And so we brought them up there and left them on the rock, but there was this other kind of big rock on the left, and little people crawling up it. I remember going, wow, that's crazy that anybody would do that. But I came for Half Dome, and I went home. And that was the end of the story. Well, just a few years ago from today, there was a guy named Alex Holland. Anybody know Alex Holland? And he decided to free solo climb, which basically means I'm gonna rock climb with no ropes, just a bag of chalk and my shoes, El Capitan. That was the great big wall stone that was there with the small little ants climbing up it that I didn't really give any attention to. I was here for a Half Dome, but then I saw this movie and I went, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Turns out that El Capitan, that's fun to say, by the way, El Capitan, El Capitan, was the largest or is one of the largest granite walls in all the earth. And I got to see the pictures and the images of Alex Holland crawling the wall and climbing it successfully, and it kind of blew my mind. But when I was going to Yosemite, I wasn't thinking about El Capitan and the greatness of the wall and the largest of the granite walls in all the earth. I wanted to see Yosemite the way that I pictured it and imagined it. Here's where I'm going. Palm Sunday isn't just about celebrating the start of Holy Week. It's really about seeing Jesus clearly. Not as we want him to be. Not seeing him as we expect him to be, not seeing him as you've read about him in your children's Bible, or not imagining him as you've seen in the picture of the Lord's Supper on your grandma's wall, but no, seeing Jesus as he truly is. Because how many people know it's possible to be close to Jesus and still miss him? It's possible to still be in the crowd of the people, but I miss the king. By the way, find yourself in the story. You're the crowd today. It's possible to be in the mix, but not experience his presence. It's possible to praise him for what you want him to do and still miss what he actually came to do. And that's what happens in our story on Palm Sunday. They celebrated Jesus, but they didn't fully understand him and all he came to do. They welcomed the king, but they missed the kind of king he came to be. And this is my sermon in a sentence. I like doing that sometimes, kind of give you an anchor for where we're going. Here's my sermon in a sentence. Jesus came to be the king we all needed and not the king the crowd wanted. Jesus came to be the king that we all needed today, not the one that you want, not the one that the crowd wanted. And we read about it in Matthew 21, and I want to go verses 1 through 11. If you got it with you, let's go. Verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples. How many did he send? Saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. I think it's interesting that oftentimes in the story we give credit to one donkey, but clearly there are how many? There are two donkeys. What in the world? Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them, not it, and bring them, not it, to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them. You can kind of put that in your pocket. If someone jams you up about something, and you can just be like, well, the Lord needs them. The Lord needs me to be here. The Lord needs you to be my wife. No, don't use that. Don't. The Lord didn't need me to tell you. Don't say that. The Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, and this is Zechariah 9, verse 9 that's being referenced, and it says, this was spoken to the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. By the way, take note of that. Underline that in your Bible. The disciples, how many would say, I'm a disciple of Jesus, by the way, here today? Anybody? Say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Yeah, campuses, I'm a disciple. That means I'm a follower of Jesus. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, here's a good little note for you. The followers of Jesus went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Imagine if they had come with a pig or showed up with an elephant. We're like, ah. Bro, I said a donkey, not an elephant. Or all they had was camels, Jesus. We went to the lot with the donkeys and we were looking for one, but they had a used camel on sale. And I know how you like a good value. We brought two camels. They said, no, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. In verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees. In John's gospel, take note, it calls the trees palm trees. That's why we have palm branches on Palm Sunday. And they spread them on the road, and the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. We just sang about it here in Point Loma. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It's a great story. I want to help unpack this story a little bit and kind of go chunk by chunk, line by line. And to help us see Jesus more clearly, I want to teach it to you from the word palm. Everybody say palm. P-A-L-M. Because Jesus did not come to be the king that you wanted. He came to be the king that we all needed. So I got to see him clearly today. To help us do that, I'm going to go through P-A-L-M. So here's the first letter in palm. It's that this was a prophecy fulfilled. What's this whole story about? Coming in as a king, riding on a donkey. Well, the first thing is it was a prophecy fulfilled. In Matthew 21, 4 through 5, it says, this all took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. This is Zechariah 9, 9. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Palm Sunday is not just a celebration, it's a revelation. Celebration, yes, but more revelation. Matthew says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken. In other words, a promise was made and it's happening right now. A promise was made. A declaration was given. This is a revelation and it's coming to pass. It's not random, it's intentional. Jesus is fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. He comes humble. He comes gentle. He comes riding on a donkey. But don't miss it. This moment is bigger than just one prophecy. In Psalm 24, verse 7 through 8, it says, "Open up, you ancient gates." Well, what gates? The gates of Israel. "Open up, ancient doors." Well, what doors? The doors of Jerusalem. "And let the King of glory enter." Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord invincible in battle. And so all the way from Genesis to Isaiah, Psalms, Zechariah, God has been telling his people that a Savior is on its way, a King is coming, a Deliverer is on its way, a Lamb is on its way. And when Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he's not just entering a city, he's walking and stepping into a prophecy. He is fulfilling a promise. And God has been writing this story all the way since Adam and Eve first got kicked out of the garden. It's from that moment, they got kicked out, they ruined this relationship that God had intended with his people. He wanted to be close. And by the way, you and I ruined that relationship. And so God says, man, I want to have that relationship back. I got to restore this. And the Old Testament, to bring that relationship together, they would atone for sin with a sacrifice. And so God goes, I got a better sacrifice. I'm working on a beautiful story. And every bit of that story is specific and necessary for the promise to be fulfilled. There was this movie on the other day, and my son had it up. Kind of like Indiana Jones, like a new version of it. It's called National Treasure. That's old too, but it's anybody seen National Treasure? Okay, Nicolas Cage, right? Nicolas Cage, and he plays an archaeologist professor type, and there's a map that he has, and his dad's got clues on the map, and then the map leads to a book. It's the president's book, but it's in a library, and so they break in, and they go into the library, and then there's the book, and they open the book, and in the book are some coordinates, and they go to the coordinates, and they find that this is the exact location that leads them to the next spot, which eventually gets them to the lost city and this incredible golden treasure. Okay, what's that mean for us? Well, every step in that story in National Treasure is specific. Every clue is important. It's all intentional, and it leads to a promised treasure. Here's what God does. God is intentional, and he's specific, and he's writing a story in our lives, and he is a promise keeper, and he says, if I said I would do it, all my steps are needed, all my maps are needed, all the clues are needed, all the prophecy comes together, and it comes together with the story of Jesus Christ. I'm a promise keeper. If I said it would happen, it'll come to pass. If I said it'll happen, it'll come to pass. That's why Zechariah says he's coming gentle. He's coming lowly. He's coming on a donkey. He prophesied this exact moment that it would come to pass. Palm Sunday is more than a celebration. It's a revelation of prophecy fulfilled. Here's the second letter. So P is prophecy fulfilled. Letter A is arrival of a king. Arrival of a king. Matthew 21, verse 5 says, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It looks like fowl, but it's foal. Fowl is a bird, foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought a donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut palm branches from trees and spread them on the road. So we have a king, we have cloaks on the road, and we have cut branches. Jesus enters Jerusalem with the kind of reception that you would give a king. Historically, we know that there would be conquering kings, and they would come in with their ensemble. I'm missing the right word here, but they would have their entourage of people, and they're riding into their city or their village, and there would be a parade honoring them, and they would shout, and they would sing, and they'd put cloaks on the ground. The cloaks on the road are a sign of honor and royal recognition. The branches being waved are palms being a symbol of joy, being a symbol of celebration, a symbol of victory. Some people describe the waving of palm branches as a sound of rain. I don't know if you heard this before. Let's see if we can do it. sound like rain? And so some people said, man, when you wave the palm, it sounds like rain. And so you have these people who have spiritually and emotionally and maybe physically been in a season of drought, and Jesus comes to be the rain in their desert cry. The rain is coming. In fact, that's a word for somebody today. That rain is on its way, and Jesus has come to be the rain to your desert cry. Does anybody have a desert cry today? God, I need you. I need you to break through. I need you to do something in my life. Rain is coming. They're waving these palm branches, and they're shouting out, Hosanna, save us now. And everything about this moment says, a king is coming. A king is coming. A king is coming. It's a beautiful scene. The king is on his way. But then look at what he's riding. A donkey? Where's the big king? Where's the stallion? Where's the, you know, come on. Where's it at? Where's the Pharaoh with the chariot and the 10 horses in front of him, all beautiful white and all beautiful black, shiny and all beautiful golden, whatever it is. He doesn't come like that. He comes on a what? He comes on a donkey. That's right. Ladies, I want you to picture a really nice restaurant. Okay, I had in mind Steak 48. I like that restaurant. Anybody been to Steak 48? It's in Del Mar. If you haven't been, okay, my man in the back, okay. Steak 48. For Oahu, because you're not here in San Diego, there's a restaurant there in downtown Waikiki called Wolfgang Schneider, okay? So imagine, ladies, a man, we're going to call him Hector, okay? I just like the name Hector today. Walks into Wolfgang Schneider, and you're there. You see him. Maybe you're not at the restaurant, but you see Hector. And Hector is wearing a $5,000 Gucci suit. Okay, he doesn't care about matching. He's got a Louis Vuitton belt. He's got Fendi shoes. He don't care. He's him, okay? He does what he wants. Hector does what he wants. He smells of a $500 bottle of Baccarat Rouge 540. Okay, he just smells nice. He's got a Rolex watch on his wrist, and he's walking out, just had dinner, of Wolfgang Schneider. And ladies, you're there, and you see Hector. And he's walking out, and he's like, boom, boom. Almost like he has theme music. Bum, 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 bum. Hector's coming out. And you're like, dang, I'm about to see Hector. And the valet pulls his car up. You're like, dang, what, here comes the Ferrari. What's he driving? And a 2010 RAV4 pulls up. Wait a minute. I don't know if I like Hector anymore. I was about to give him my Instagram, but not anymore. Where's the Escalade? Where's the Escalade, right? Now, here's the deal. And no shade on if you drive a RAV4. God bless you. I saw one this morning, and they were flying, okay? Especially with these gas prices. We should all get a RAV4. So no shade whatsoever to the RAV4 owner. It's just not what you're expecting, is it? It's not what you're expecting, and it's not what we're expecting to see. Jesus coming in on a donkey. Here's the principle. Don't miss the king just because he doesn't show up the way you pictured. Don't miss the king in your life just because he's not showing up the way that you wanted him to show up. Well, Jesus, that's not what I said. That's not what I pictured. That's not what I prayed. But don't miss the king. He's coming a different way. Is he still the king? He's still the king. Jesus doesn't come to be the king that the crowd wanted. He comes to be the king that we all needed. They wanted a political king. They wanted a conquering king. And he isn't arriving to crush Rome. He's coming to bring the kingdom of God, an eternal kingdom, the kingdom of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, forgiveness, deliverance. That's why Zechariah said he comes gentle. He comes humble, riding on a donkey. He gets a king's welcome, but he's got a humble mission, not to conquer, but to give his life, not to establish this political kingdom they wanted, but an eternal kingdom. Jesus may not arrive the way you expected, but he promises to be the king that we needed. And so what do? We see him clearly because it's a prophecy fulfilled. And then second thing, it is the arrival of the king. Here's the third point. It's the letter L. He is a lamb on assignment. He's a lamb on assignment. In Matthew 21, our story, verse 9, it says, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And so I want you to track with me a little bit because I need my notes for this point. Jerusalem is packed because it's Passover week, and the Jews had come from everywhere, all around, to remember God delivering his people from Egypt. Remember that story? You know, let my people go, right? This the song of to Pharaoh, let my people go, and Moses helps deliver his people. Well, the very last plague that eventually got Pharaoh to let his people go and Moses to deliver the Israelites was the Passover, angel that passed over and the firstborn was killed. But God has a plan for them to rescue them, to deliver them. And he tells them, I want you to get a lamb and I want you to kill that lamb and I want you to take the blood and put it over your door and the angel of death is gonna pass over you. And so the Jews celebrated this feast about a week long. Well, they've all come during this week to celebrate Passover. Now, go down a few lines with me. I'm gonna read something out of Exodus chapter 12, because they're expecting a Moses-type figure, and so when they shouted, Hosanna, save us now, they're going, man, this is praise for Jesus, but it's a cry for help. Jesus, will you do what Moses did for us? Here's how God connects it in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of the year. Now, what that month was called historically was the month of Nisan. That's old times. Now, modern times, that month is like March, April, our time today. And then he writes, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day, what day? I want you to remember that the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. So it's the very first Passover. They pick a lamb on the 10th day to be a sacrifice. Three verses down on Exodus 12, verse 6, he says, take care of the lamb in your house until the 14th day, a few days later, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Wait a minute. No, that's how you're going to be saved, by the killing of the lamb and the shedding of the blood. And so the 10th day, they would call it selection day. The 14th day, a few days later, they killed the lamb and the blood covered their house and the people were saved. Now, walk with me back to Jesus a little bit. He goes into the city in Jerusalem, guess what? On the 10th day of Passover. He goes in on selection day. You fast forward a few days later, he is killed and crucified on the 14th day because their calendar isn't like our calendar. It's not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's counted in 24-hour blocks. And so he's selected on this day. He's crucified on this day. And so here's the beautiful thing. Jesus doesn't just come into a city to be celebrated. He comes into a city. He is selected. He's selected by God to be a sacrificial lamb. And then John tells us, behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the perfect, spotless, blameless Lamb that came to shed his blood for you and I. That's how we're saved. He's got an assignment. I want to conquer Rome. I don't know what you want me to do, church. I came to forgive you. I came to heal you. I came to be a deliverer of your soul. And so we want to see him clearly today in Palm Sunday in the midst of the Hosanna and the palms, the shouting. And so it's a prophecy that's fulfilled. It's the arrival of a king, our king, the king. He's a lamb on assignment. And my last point here, my last letter is M. He was the Messiah, but he was the Messiah misunderstood. At the end of the story in verse 10 through 11, it says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And so some said he was a prophet, and some thought they knew who he was as a teacher, and others thought they knew exactly who he was as a rabbi. But the majority of the people in that city, in that crowd, they didn't understand who this Messiah was, which tells me that you and I can celebrate Jesus publicly and still not understand him personally. Oh, the Lord, holy is your name. Four songs on Sunday, giving moment after that, message after that. I go home and then what happened? I don't know if my mind was tickled, but was my heart transformed? Don't miss the Messiah. Don't misunderstand what he's coming to do today. He's not here to be a pinata of gifts and pinata of healing. He's here to be the Lord of the earth, the sacrificial lamb, the Messiah that saves and shapes our souls with heaven. Jesus wasn't confused about his assignment. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So we know he came. We know he arrived, but he didn't come to be treated like a prince. He's already got that job in heaven. He came down from that job in all his glory and came down from heaven's graces to be on earth, to live the life that you and I were supposed to live perfectly that we can't do. And then he goes to the cross to die the death that you and I are supposed to die, but he does it in our place so he can give us everlasting life. But he was born all so that he could die. His whole life is pointing to the cross. I'll end with this story and this picture in just a second, and then we'll pray. This week, I was making phone calls, and I was some of our team help me track down a donkey. I really wanted to get a donkey on stage today. I'm serious, you know. Come on. Wouldn't that been cool? Not just to have a donkey on stage. Or, you know, we've had some kind of walk down the aisle and different things like that. But it wasn't just to like, hey, there's a donkey in the story. There's a donkey on stage. Look at this. That's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to, and we called a few places. There's a place called My Little Pony where you can get little horses and they show up at your house and the kids pet them. I was like, bro, can you spray paint one that looks gray and the whole thing? We called ranches. We couldn't find one. But the reason I wanted to show you the donkey wasn't just to have the donkey. I wanted to show you the donkey because what's on the donkey's back? Take a look at this. Every donkey has a line down his spine that's black, and he has a line across his shoulders that's black, the picture of a cross. Jesus was born so that he could die. And I had this picture of Jesus as a child and Mary pregnant, riding on a what? A donkey, born to die. And then here he is riding into a city, riding on what? A donkey, because he was born to eventually die. And so Jesus isn't mistaken. His whole life has been marching towards the cross. Because of the cross is salvation. And at the cross is new life for you and for me. At the cross is love where there is no love. At the cross is where there's peace where you don't have peace. At the cross is this picture of mercy where you're not given what you do deserve. And at the cross is grace where you're given what you don't deserve, but you get it anyways. His love, his forgiveness. Everything's about the cross. It's not about what I do for him or how good I am. It's I just look at the cross and I give glory to Jesus. And I'm so thankful that 2,000 years ago, this Sunday, Jesus rode into the city, but what did he do next? He rode into my life. I hope that's the story for you today. And there's a few people that maybe that's not your story yet. We want to give you that chance right now to say, Lord, I want you to ride into my life. I want you to be my Savior. I want to see you clearly today. I didn't come just to beat you up for things I need. I don't want you to be the king that I want. I want you to be the king that we need today. And so would you just bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we pray together, all the campuses. Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for your love for us, your extravagant grace and love that you poured out on the cross. We'll never forget, but today I hope that we can see you clearly. In the midst of the shouting and the praising and the palm branches and the hosannas is a king that fulfilled a great prophecy. God, you are that specific. What you did then, you're doing in our lives today. You arrived as a king, and so we give you glory as the king, but not the one that we want, the one that you need for us, the one that you are called to be, the lamb on assignment. And today we are not mistaken. There is no misunderstanding. We know who you are. Your mission was never the crown. It was always the cross. Thank you for that. As everybody's heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you need to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior today, I want you to pray this in the quiet of your heart. Just pray this. Say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I failed. I admit that I need saving today. And I believe that you love me, and I believe that you died for my sin on a cross. And so today, I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill me and to change me forever. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. I love you. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, under the sound of my voice, if you prayed that prayer today, maybe for the first time, or maybe you recommitted your life because you've been drifting, you've been wandering, doing life on your own ways, but today is a new day, and today you don't go back to the old life, and you recommitted your salvation today, you recommitted your life to the King of heaven. I want you to raise your hand on the count of three at all of our locations, nice and high, if you prayed that prayer. One, two, three. Raise your hand if you prayed that prayer. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good to see you. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. It's great. Lord, thank you for every single decision, every single soul that said yes today across our church, online, anybody that prayed with me to receive you as Lord and Savior, we speak a blessing on them. We ask, God, that you would be the king of their soul, the king of their life, the one that you have for them, the one that they need, not what they want, but what they need today. And so we ask that you would help them to live for you, to fall in love with your word and bring them into a great family and community. May they come back every single week to come and worship you and to learn from your scriptures and to sit in your presence. We bless them and we thank you, God, for your word and how much you love us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord, church. Come on.